All right, welcome to the 21st episode of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Golden, with you here always. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today as we have Blackhawks playoff hockey back for the first time since 2017 when the Blackhawks were swept by the Blues in the first round. And we have a couple performances to go over, a lot of penalties to go over, stuff like that, mainly just a recap of the game. But first, before we get into all of that, I want to make sure you know how to get in touch with the podcast or ask any listener questions. We have the Instagram page at ChiTownHockey.pod. We have the Twitter page at ChiTownPod. We have my Blackhawks Instagram page, which is currently on the Instagram Live, at Blackhawks Topic. We have the Twitter page, same username, at Blackhawks Topic. We have the Gmail account, ChiTownHockeyPod@gmail.com. And I think that's it. So many to get to. So, now getting into the actual game, it was a solid team game from the Blackhawks from the start. The Blackhawks really did come out swinging. The Blackhawks played a solid team game. You could see it in the way they communicated, just in the way the Blackhawks were playing and started out in the game. And as the game went along, you could see the communication was a lot better. You could see just the team game was a lot better. There were a lot of bad penalties taken by the Blackhawks, though. One that I especially hated was the DeBrincat call. I think this was an unnecessary penalty, a penalty that should have gotten DeBrincat benched by Jeremy Colleton for another couple of shifts, because you can't take penalties like Alex DeBrincat did, especially when you're playing playoff hockey. Whoever he hit, I forgot who it was, 10 feet out from the boards, just a solid just cross-check to the back, face-first into the boards, just a clear boarding call, something that could have been avoided, especially because it was not a good penalty to take to get him away from the puck. The puck was nowhere near him, nowhere near Alex DeBrincat. He did not have to shove a guy to get the puck. This was just a downright bad penalty by Alex DeBrincat, something that should not happen, and like I said, something that should get him benched by Jeremy Colleton. But I think an issue with Jeremy Colleton is his excuse is, well, if you bench everybody for making a mistake, then every single person is on the bench. But you're not benching someone for the entire game. What Jeremy Colleton needs to realize is if he has, like, really, like, driven players, if you take one shift away from them, two shifts away from them, they want to be back on the ice. If you show them that you are disappointed in them, they want to get back onto the ice. So you don't need to bench a player for the whole period, like, I guess Jeremy Colleton thinks. But just one shift, two shift, that's all you need. You look at the best players in the NHL, past and present. You take one shift away from these guys, Wayne Gretzky, Guy Lafleur, Patrick Kane, even on the same team. You take one shift away from them and you show them you're disappointed in them and you expect better from them, then that's a statement to your players and will get them to play better. But now I want to move on to the power play suggested by Blackhawks Talk. Shout out to him. Most recent comment, go follow him on the IG Live. It's going on. Oilers power play. The Blackhawks, first game in the series that the Blackhawks really had a solution to the Oilers power play. They went 0-for-5 tonight on the power play, the Oilers did. The Blackhawks, best penalty killing I have seen in a while. They just always had an answer. They were always clearing the puck. Seemed they could even get some shorthanded chances, get the puck out of the zone, ice the puck. They were just able to do it all tonight when on the PK. And that's something you're going to need as you go in and you face better teams like you are going to face when you move on to the actual Stanley Cup playoffs, because we will be facing either the Avalanche or the Vegas Golden Knights, whoever wins that game between those two for the number one seed. You are going to need that performance on the penalty kill. So that is a big thing that stepped up today. Now, the power play. The power play looked a little bit better. Really, it did. The power play looked a little bit better. But an issue with the power play tonight, despite how good it looked, is that it's too much tic-tac-toe going on. It's too much you're looking for a tic-tac-toe play on the power play. It needs to be look for those dirty goals. And that's something that Andrew Shaw was really good at, and something that we'll have and that will benefit us when Andrew Shaw comes back, is you need those dirty goals in front of the net, and that's what a power play should be. When you're on the power play, it can't always be the fancy tic-tac-toe passes, you know, Kane, Taze, Kubalik, and bam, it's in the net. You're not going to get that. And that's one of the reasons why the Blackhawks this year were 15% on the power play. They took last year, they got a little too cocky with it, and it's now tic-tac-toe every single time because they had that last year. But that's not going to work for you every single time, and it's definitely not going to work for you every single year on the power play. You're going to need to change it up, because that tic-tac-toe is very easy to defend. The Oilers always know what they're looking for, and on top of that, the Oilers were the second best penalty killing in the league. So when you're looking for that fancy play, the Oilers know how to defend that. What Jeremy Colliton needs to train his team to do is get those dirty goals, get in front of the net, battle hard, keep shooting away at Koskinen. The Blackhawks only had 29 shots tonight with multiple power plays. That should not be the case. With multiple power plays, the Blackhawks very well could have had the over 40 shots on goal that the Oilers did tonight. We'll get into Corey Crawford's performance in a little bit. But with the amount of power plays that the Blackhawks had today and the amount of penalties the Oilers took, the Blackhawks should have had a lot more shots on goal, and that's the issue with the tic-tac-toe, is they're always looking for those fancy plays, and that leads to less shots on goal, and then on top of that, like I just mentioned, it's easier to defend that tic-tac-toe style of power play to the point where you can't even get a shot on goal anymore. So that is a big issue when it comes to the Blackhawks power play, and something that Jeremy Colliton needs to realize, train his team to do, and then the Blackhawks fix. Because if you don't have good special teams, you're not going far in the playoffs. That's an issue that needs to be fixed. But moving on from the special team subject, I'll go ahead and get into Corey Crawford's performance now. Corey Crawford with a .955 save percentage today, stopping 43 shots of 45 from the Oilers. Just shut him out. Let two goals in the net and just shut the Oilers down. It was just save after save after save, and he's part of the reason why the Blackhawks penalty kill was such a success today. He battled hard, which also helps the team battle even harder. That is a big, big, big plus that the Blackhawks had today, because the past three games, Corey Crawford, obviously 2-1 record the past three games. Corey Crawford was still not himself, though. The Blackhawks had to play like the Blackhawks of the Dynasty era to be able to beat the Oilers those past two games. And they didn't really have Corey Crawford's help. While Corey Crawford is still a really good goaltender, it took time for him to recover from coronavirus. And you look at his performance today, he's started to gain that confidence as the game went along. He gained that confidence, and you could see the confidence of the team and the confidence of Crawford. It was basically combining together, and it was just a great battle from the Blackhawks, because when you have a sharp goalie and you have a sharp team, then it's going to combine for something good. So a big performance from Corey Crawford today that really carried the Blackhawks, because the Blackhawks were giving up a lot of chances in the third period while the Oilers pushed back, because the Oilers are a really good team. They have really good star power. They have really good speed. The Oilers pushed in the third period. They really did push. And Corey Crawford came through every single time that the Blackhawks needed him to. But one thing that was a little bit annoying to me was Corey Crawford was making all these great saves. A million penalties the Blackhawks were taking that were just terrible penalties that shouldn't have been taken. The DeBrincat one, even the Cajula one, just nowhere near the puck, just a cross-check to the back, just terrible penalties that shouldn't have been taken. Corey Crawford's fighting them off. The penalty killers are fighting them off. While we still won, I think our performance in the goal-scoring aspect and even the shots on goal aspect could have been a little bit better, because it's not really fair for the penalty killers and Corey Crawford to have to kill off penalties from the goal scorers, you know, like Kubalik, Strome, Taves, Kane. Not all those guys took penalties, but players like that that are taking these penalties, it's not fair for these other penalty killers such as Camp, Carpenter, Kajula, even though he took a penalty, Keith. It's not fair for them to have to go out and have to defend these penalties against the best power play in the league. That's not fair, especially when it's five penalties. And for these penalty killers, and for this Blackhawks team and the defense we have, even though it's been playing a little bit better, because we did get Calvin DeHaan back and Modin Cuckoo are looking pretty good on that third pairing, still with the defense we have, it's just, it's atrocious, the defense we have. And we were still able to fight off five power plays from the Oilers that, I mean, if you were to hand me a sheet and say, how many times do you think the Oilers are going to score on this power play, I probably would have marked down at least 3 out of 5. If it was for money, I really would have marked that down. But the penalty kill came out swinging. They killed the Oilers on the power play, really. Just a great performance from the penalty kill. But it would have been nice to see a little bit better of a performance. And just the shots on goal aspect, really. Because you got the defense, you got the penalty killers, they're doing their job. But the offense needs to do your job. And you know what? Your job is not taking bad penalties like you did. So, you know, you really just... I would have liked to see an improvement from those offensive players, I guess you can call them. But really, that's just the bottom line. But overall, a really good team game. Now, next subject, the referees. I think the referees, I talked about it a little bit prior, but I'm going to go ahead and get into it now. The referees in game two were just absolutely astonishing. Just astonishing to watch, listen to. It was crazy. Just even as a Blackhawks fan, you could see that they were swaying towards the side of the Blackhawks. And I think it balanced. I mean, we didn't score on any of the power plays except for 1 5-on-3. So it kind of balances it out. But the referees were just terrible in game two. Game one and game three, and even today. It was game three they were terrible, because it was game three they were terrible, because we won. So, in game one, two, and today, it was a lot better of a performance from the referees in terms of the fairness aspect, but game three was just absolutely astonishing in terms of just the bad calls the referees were making. They were just absolutely absurd. Athanasiu, you got a penalty for touching Kane. Just even as a Blackhawks fan, you know, just as a hockey player, a hockey fan, just a person in general, you could just tell that these guys were not doing their job. And that's really the bottom line, is these guys needed to do their job, and they didn't. They didn't show up for the Oilers. They only showed up for the Blackhawks. And I think that's an issue that presented itself in game two, is that there are still referees out there that are swaying to one side or the other. And I think the league situation room in Toronto, I think, needs to be a little bit more in tune with games, and maybe overriding the referees sometimes. Just figure out a solution, whatever you want to do. But I think that just there needs to be a system in place that kind of limits the calls referees are making, sort of, because you can see there were just a lot of bad calls, just blatant, like, disrespect even towards the Oilers, and it was really ridiculous to watch. But anyway, you're listening to the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I will be back with you in 60 seconds or less. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. Here I am, Jake Golden, with you here as always. The Blackhawks have clinched a spot in the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs. We will be facing either the Vegas Golden Knights or the Colorado Avalanche in the first round of the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs. And you already know, I'll be getting that playoffs hat. So, but moving on to the first round matchup, playing either the Avalanche or the Golden Knights. I think we have a chance to win against the Golden Knights. I think our team really showed up here against the Oilers. I think the Oilers have some of the same attributes as the Golden Knights, like star power and not really good goaltending. The Golden Knights have great goaltending. However, the Oilers don't. I think the defense on the Golden Knights is a little bit better. But I think if we face the Golden Knights, they obviously, I think, will have an edge because they're a lot better of a team than we are. But getting into next year, I think we will be a little bit better of a team. I'll get into that in a few minutes. But if we face the Golden Knights, my prediction, I think, is we have to really be realistic here. We really have to look at these two rosters. We have to look at both these teams, look at how they've improved, look at both these two series, or the series that the Blackhawks played in the round robin, the Golden Knights have played, and really just kind of compare these two teams. If I'm picking really sides for each of the three major things, which would probably be defense, goaltending, and offense, I think the Blackhawks showed we have the offense. I think the Blackhawks have the offense to override the Golden Knights. I think the Golden Knights have good two-way power. I think their defense, I think their defensive game is something that's really going to help them if we do face them in a series. I think the Golden Knights have better defense. Goaltending, obviously, I think that's got to go to Vegas because, I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury, Robin Leonard, two playoff goalies. Both have played in the playoffs before. Both are proven winners with both of their respective teams in the Islanders with Leonard in the playoffs last year. And Fleury with the Penguins and the Golden Knights, really, multiple years in a row. Penguins, obviously, missing the playoffs for the first time in 14 seasons, I believe. Fleury is not there. Matt Murray and Tristan Jarry are in goal for them. However, that's not a topic that needs to be discussed here. But Marc-Andre Fleury is a proven winner. Robin Leonard was a proven winner. He proved he could win with this Blackhawks team that really wasn't that good when he stepped in here. So that's a big plus for the Golden Knights. Now, looking at the defensive aspect of things, I think the Golden Knights have a better defensive core there, especially with some of the guys that they have that are two-way players. But I don't think they have too many offensive guys. I think their game really does rely off that goaltending and the defense they have. Obviously, they can score, but I think if I'm going to give a team an edge in offense, I think it has to go to the Blackhawks. I mean, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews really stepped up in this series against the Oilers. He turned into the dynasty era Jonathan Toews that he used to be, taking over the driver's seat for this team, scoring those key goals, getting those key assists, making those slick passes, everything that Jonathan Toews needed to do to make this team successful in the playoffs, Jonathan Toews did. And if I'm putting three stars on this series, I have to put Jonathan Toews up there at number one, because Jonathan Toews performed like Jonathan Toews was supposed to perform as a captain and as a leader, and he performed like he used to when the Blackhawks were a really good team winning Stanley Cups. So that's obviously promising as we head into the first round of the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs, a round that we as Blackhawks fans and as Blackhawks haven't seen for, I mean, it feels like forever, really, as Blackhawks fans for how much success we had in just a short amount of time. So it feels like forever, but it's only been 2 years since our first round exit against the St. Louis Blues being swept 4-0. This is actually our first playoff series win since we won the Stanley Cup in 2015. So that is it's promising for the Blackhawks in their future. I mean, playoff series wins, it's not really promising as you go along the Stanley Cup playoffs, because, you know, if you're going to win the Stanley Cup, then you're going to win the Stanley Cup. But winning this playoff series against a good team like the Oilers with explosive star power and Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, and even in just core guys like Athanasiou, Tyler Ennis, Nugent Hopkins, guys like that, I think the Blackhawks showed that they have a really good future with the guys they have. But then next year, add in Pius, Suter, coming over from Europe, looking to be like a really good player, kind of like how Artemi Panarin was, Dominic Kubalik was, someone who carried their power play over with the ZSC Lions in Europe and Berlin in Germany. So even if he goes off for 20 goals, adding another 20 goals, that 20-goal goal differential, that is a big step for the Blackhawks. We have been able to start to build this team in less money than we would have liked. You know, you got guys like Ian Mitchell coming in, Pius Suter coming in, Evan Barrett coming in, Andre Altuve-Markian is coming in, Matei Chalupa will be coming in as a depth guy. We have been able to build a pretty good team for next year, and already right now, having playoff success, our team is already looking pretty good, as we just beat the Edmonton Oilers 3-1 in a best-of-five series. That's pretty damn good. And you look at the guys that are going to be coming in next year, this is a lot of hope for the Blackhawks. I think there is going to be a lot of hype around the Blackhawks come next year. I think the Blackhawks have an opportunity to make the playoff next year. Not just the 2014 playoffs, but the actual playoffs. Because next year, obviously, I doubt there will be a 2014 playoff going on. But I think the Blackhawks could be a solid, at least wild card lock in the Western Conference, as you see some teams like Nashville and Winnipeg, and even kind of Arizona is not even looking that good, even after they signed Taylor Hall. I think as you see some of these teams dip down, I think it provides hope for the Blackhawks to head back up, especially with the emergence of Kirby Dach, even Dylan Strome and Alex DeBrincat, and just getting this playoff experience for Adam Boqvist, guys like that are young and are going to mature as they go along. That is certainly a good thing for these young guys, and then bringing in new guys next year under cheap deals that look like they can really have good contributions to your team and help you win. I think there can be a lot of hope around the Blackhawks. I think the Blackhawks can maybe even be a playoff team next year, if they keep on playing like the way they played in this series against the Oilers. They played a hard-fought game every single game. I mean, game two, it kind of slipped out of their hands a little bit, kind of took their foot off the gas pedal as the Oilers scored the fifth and sixth goals in game two. But they played a solid game pretty much this whole series against the Oilers. So that provides hope for the Blackhawks next year, along with all these guys that are coming in under cheap deals that look like they can contribute to your team a lot. I think there's a lot of hope, there's going to be a lot of hype, and I think the Blackhawks are going to perform really well next year and hopefully even be a playoff lock. Now, moving on to if we do face the Avalanche. If we face the Avalanche, I think this is going to really just be a no-brainer. I don't think we're going to lose. I don't think we're going to get swept by the Avalanche, but I think we would lose to the Avalanche in maybe four or five games. I don't think we're going to lose entirely. We've showed we can beat the Avalanche, especially now with the emergence of some of these guys and the way we play during the series. But I do think the Avalanche are just such a good team. They're just stacked there. They were injured all year and were still just able to keep it up and keep going and keep pushing and still be a really solid Stanley Cup contender lock in the Western Conference. So if we face the Avalanche, then I would predict that the Avalanche would beat us. However, the Blackhawks would have the edge in goaltending, as Corey Crawford obviously is a lot better than Philip Grubauer and or Pavel Francouz. But I think the Avalanche just have that power to override bad goaltending from their team. Now, I got two listener questions I want to go ahead and get to. First one from @Donner_2005 on Instagram. He says, "How do you think our defense played? As a fellow Hawks fan, I feel like we got a good mix of defense, goaltending, and offense." I completely agree with this statement, really. I think our defense is starting to level out. You know, you can see Mott and Cuckoo already good fit together as that third pairing. That's a solid third pairing. DeHaan and Murphy are looking really good together. DeHaan is looking good. Murphy is looking good. Keith, getting older, but still looking good. Boquist, he's maturing. He's looking good. He's looking better in the defensive aspect of things. You obviously have Seabrook, who in camp was actually looking a little better and who looked like he wanted it in camp. You know, he's like the first guy out on the ice. He was skating with the team. He didn't travel to Edmonton, yet you could see Brent Seabrook wanted it, and Brent Seabrook wanted to be back on the ice. He wanted to be better. He even said that, you know, the reason he... Like, I mean, I can kind of see, like, the reason he wasn't as good of a defender or as good of a player, I guess you could say, he was saying, like, for 5 years, he couldn't throw a football, he couldn't throw a baseball to his kids. Like, it hurt just to sit down on the toilet. So now that you see what this guy has been playing through, that obviously provides a little hope now that he's making a recovery. He's wanting to get better. He was skating with his team. I think that provides some hope for Blackhawks fans as Brent Seabrook prepares to make a comeback. Just him sharing everything he was going through before he had these surgeries, just not even being able to throw a football to his kids. That's obviously going to make a big difference for the Blackhawks, for Brent Seabrook on the back end, because now that he's all fixed up and he might even be able to throw a baseball to his kids, then that is certainly going to help the Blackhawks. I mean, like, you can never have too much depth on a team. You really can't. And you know what? If that means scratching a guy, like Murphy, or probably you'd scratch Cuckoo, but if it means scratching a pretty good guy, that means that you have a good team and you have depth on your team, and that's good. You can never have too much depth on a team. So that is certainly a good thing for the Blackhawks if Brent Seabrook can continue to make this recovery and can continue to be a good player like he was when he got that $6.75 or whatever it was, $1 million contract. I think he deserved it at the time. I don't think he deserves it right now, but you see everything that he was playing through, and, you know, maybe if he can make that recovery, then that's something that, I mean, that's something to look forward to. But final question is from PHLSpotter59 on Instagram. He asked, "Do you think you can win against the Vegas Golden Knights and or the Colorado Avalanche?" I kind of already answered that question, so I'll just kind of recap that a little bit. I think we can win against the Golden Knights. I don't think we really have that great of a chance against the Avalanche. They both will probably be entertaining matchups, as the Blackhawks have kind of blossomed into a bit better of a team than they were at the end of the season. The Blackhawks have shown they can beat the Avalanche. They've shown they can beat the Golden Knights. So I think if we can take a couple games, maybe get a couple lucky bounces, I mean, maybe it does go our way. And you know what? Maybe something crazy happens. You know, all bets are off in the playoffs. And I think that, you know, you can't really think you're going to win. I think it's just really all bets are off. And you kind of just got to hope, you know. Because you never know what's going to go down in the playoffs. You never know how teams are going to perform. So that is certainly a big factor for the Blackhawks. Anyway, that's going to go ahead and end this podcast. I want to make sure you know how to get in touch with the podcast or ask any listener questions before we go ahead and end this thing. I also did an Instagram Live. Everyone watching on Instagram Live, thank you all for joining as I did this kind of live video podcast. This will be up for 24 hours on my Instagram @BlackhawksTalk. Topic. Again, that is at Blackhawks Topic on Instagram. This will be up for 24 hours. You can go see my face if that's what you're into. You can go and just see kind of how I do things over at the podcast. Stuff like that, I mean, if that's what you're into. But that's going to go ahead and end this podcast. So contact options is we have the Instagram at chitownhockey.pod. We have the Twitter account, chitownpod. We have my Blackhawks-related Instagram account at Blackhawks Topic. Blackhawks-related Twitter account is same username, at Blackhawks Topic. Holy crap. And then my personal Twitter account, jgolden777. And then, of course, can't forget the Gmail account, chitownhockeypod@gmail.com. So listener questions, anything like that, send them in. Reviews and stuff, 5-star reviews, all that stuff, that's very much appreciated for me. I really appreciate that. Helps me climb in the ratings, helps me get more listeners for you guys. So that is always appreciated. But anyway, that's going to go ahead and do it for this edition of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. Make sure you tune in on, what even is today? Today is Friday. So make sure you tune in on Tuesday morning, releasing at 5 a.m. Central Time. Make sure you tune in then for the next podcast. The Blackhawks are officially a playoff team, officially in the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, round one for the first time since 2017, when their first playoff series win a playoff series for the first time since the 2015 Stanley Cup final. Good feeling for Blackhawks fans. Certainly a good game. But thank you for listening to this edition of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. So make sure you have a great rest of your Saturday.